Reading from Lamentations. I can't remember the last time that we've done that in a scripture reading. You know, not really redlining the fun meter when you're reading the book of Lamentations. And the words in Lamentations really present a horrific picture for the city of Jerusalem. In Lamentations chapter 1, verse 1, "How lonely sits the city that was full of people. She has become like a widow who was once great among the nations. She was a princess among the province, has become a forced laborer." Jeremiah wrote these words. Jeremiah was known as the weeping prophet in the book of Lamentations, the great reason why. The Babylonians had taken Judah into captivity, and some people had remained in the city, but that wasn't necessarily a good thing. And Jeremiah was one of those who had remained in the city. If we were to put ourselves in the sandals of Jeremiah as he walked through the streets, it would be something that would probably bring us to tears. We would see that the temple of God had been gutted and was in ruins. We would see that the people who were still living, the skin of those people had shriveled on their bones. And we would see dirty faces that were stained with tears. And you would hear constant weeping. As you see in verse 2 of chapter 1 of Lamentations, "She weeps bitterly in the night. Her tears are on her cheeks. Among all her lovers, she has none to comfort her. All her friends have dealt treacherously with her. They have become her enemies." It's not a pretty picture. It's one that is very grave and very depressing as you read throughout these words. You skip to verse 16 of chapter 1. "For these things I weep. My eye overflows with water, because the Comforter who should restore my life is far from me. My children are desolate because the enemy prevailed." You turn over a couple more pages to chapter 2, verse 11. You see this theme going on, that people's eyes are full of tears. Again, verse 11 of chapter 2, "My eyes fail with tears. My heart is troubled. My bile is poured on the ground because of the destruction of the daughter of my people, because the children and the infants faint in the streets of the day." In verse 18 of the same chapter, "Their heart cried out to the Lord, O wall of the daughter of Zion, let tears run down like a river day and night. Give yourself no relief. Give your eyes no rest." Just reading those few verses, you might be thinking, well, enough of that. That's depressing. Lamentations is something that's a tough read. It's not something that you think, well, I need to do my daily devotion. I think I'll turn over to Lamentations and read that. Yet this is a book that we need to read. It's something that's important. All of God's Word certainly is. And it's a book that God wants us to read from and learn from. But how much do we really know about it? I can't really tell you the last time I've thought about looking at the book of Lamentations. Just the title is a little bit off-putting when you think about it. How much do you know about it? Lamentations was written by Jeremiah between the destruction of the Jerusalem and the return of the remnant 70 years after captivity. And God used Babylonians to punish His people for their sin. So the book has that theme of suffering and destruction and desolation. Let's look quickly at a brief outline of the book. Chapter 1 has the theme of the destruction of Jerusalem. Notice verse 7 of chapter 1. "In the days of her affliction and roaming, Jerusalem remembers all her pleasant things that she had in the days of old, when the people fell into the hand of the enemy with no one to help her. The adversary saw her and mocked at her downfall." So, really, this one verse looks back at what Jerusalem was like before. She had her heyday, and now, not so much anymore. Things have turned to a very bad way. In chapter 2, we see that there was destruction in the temple. in verses 6 and 7. Chapter 2, verses 6 and 7. She has done violence to his tabernacle as if it were a garden. He has destroyed his place of assembly. The Lord has caused the appointed feasts and Sabbaths to be forgotten in Zion. In his burning indignation, he has spurned the king and the priest. The Lord has spurned his altar. He has abandoned his sanctuary. He has given up the walls of her palaces into the hand of the enemy. They have made a noise in the house of the Lord and on the day of a set feast. I don't know how many of you do this like I do, but when you go through an old city and sometimes you see buildings that are boarded up and it looks like the building hasn't been used in a while, sometimes I wonder, what does it look like on the inside? You know, what kind of business was done here in the past? And I wonder what kind of shape it is that it's in. And sometimes when you see something that has lost its usefulness, it's degraded, it's deteriorated, and it's a very sad thing. And that is the way that the temple is described here. That it's something that had its purpose, but it's been destroyed. It's been left in disrepair, and it no longer has the usefulness that it once did because judgment has been brought upon Judah. So the destruction of the temple is a key here in chapter 2. If you go on to chapter 3, you see that the suffering of Jeremiah, the prophet, is described. Jeremiah chapter 3, verses 1 through 3. I am the man who has seen affliction by the rod of his wrath. He has led me and made me walk in darkness and not in light. Surely he has turned his hand against me time and time again throughout the day. And so the prophet says, I've seen this, and it's not a happy thing. He has made me walk in darkness and not in light. Not a pleasant thing, not a pleasant message that the prophet Jeremiah is having to deliver, and not a pleasant time that he is living in. In chapter 4, you see that they suffer in the siege and suffered from the siege that brought them destruction. Let's look at verses 8 through 10 of chapter 4. Now their appearance is blacker than soot. They go unrecognized in the streets. Their skin clings to their bones. It has become as dry as wood. Those slain by the sword are better off than those who die of hunger. For these pine away, stricken for lack of the fruits of the field. The hands of the compassionate woman have cooked their own children. They have become food for them in the destruction of the daughter of my people. You know, if you're listening to what is said here, it doesn't really need a lot of commentary for you to understand. One thing that really sticks out to me is that it says that the ones that have died are better off than the ones that are living. And that's a dire situation. When that is the thing that is said about those that are living, you know, you're really much, much worse off than those who have been taken by the sword. It is a dire, dire situation that they are in. And let's look at chapter 5. Chapter 5 and verse 1, we see that there is a penitent plea to God for mercy and help. Of course, certainly a time that people would reach out to God being in such a bad situation. Verse 1, remember, O Lord, what has come upon us. Look and behold our reproach. Skipping to verse 19, you, O Lord, remain forever, your throne from generation to generation. Why do you forget us forever and forsake us for so long a time? Turn us back to you, O Lord, and we will be restored. Renew our days as of old, unless you have utterly rejected us and are very angry with us. Again, as you just look at this overview, this 3,000-foot view of the book of Lamentations, again, it's not something that's real pleasant. So when you read it, what are you to do with it? What are we to do with the tears and the anguish and the suffering that we read about in this book? And this book reminds us of some qualities of God that sometimes people gloss over and don't discuss. And Israel here was in a very dark hour. And they are reminded about some facts of God. And what they learned about God we really need to know it. The tears of the people of God came as a result of things that they had brought upon themselves, came as a result of their sins. And so what was it that they were to see through this anguish? What were they to see through these tears? And what should we see when we shed tears because of our actions and our sins? And it's clear here to see, certainly, that God punished His people. And sometimes people today wonder, well, is God punishing me? Is God punishing me for something because of what I'm going through? And certainly today we know that we reap consequences due to our disobedience. And when we shed tears of sorrow and remorse and regret, you know, how should we react? Well, let's look at a few things that I think we can learn from this book. First of all, let's look at Lamentations chapter 2, verse 8. Lamentations chapter 2, verse 8. And I want you to just notice this phrase here. The Lord has purposed to destroy the wall of the daughter of Zion. He has stretched out a line. He has not withdrawn His hand from destroying. Therefore, He has caused the rampart and wall to lament. They languished together. The people of Judah had sinned against God. And they were judged because of that sin. They were punished because of that sin. As Jeremiah sits here, he's sitting here in the rubble of the city that used to be great. In the city that was admired. And now people are seeing it and they're mocking what has happened. This great city of Jerusalem. And the weeping prophet, with tears streaming down his face, he notes that God punishes those who sin. And that's not something a lot of people want to talk about today. Let's turn back a couple pages to chapter 1, verse 5. Chapter 1 and verse 5. Her adversaries have become the master. Her enemies prosper, for the Lord has afflicted her because of the multitude of her transgressions. Her people have gone into captivity before the enemy. So why is it that the tables have been turned? Why is it that now they have become the master when once they were the master? The prophet says, because of the multitude of her transgressions, they are in the situation that they are in. Verse 8 says, Jerusalem has sinned gravely, therefore she has become vile, because they have seen her nakedness. Yes, she sighs and turns away. And certainly this image that you hear here of nakedness is something that's shameful. It's something that is a situation where nobody would want to be in. She is laid bare for everybody to see, and it is shameful, the situation that she is in. God punishes those who sin. And these people felt the wrath of God. Lamentations chapter 2 and verse 1 says, how the Lord has covered the daughter of Zion with a cloud in His anger. He cast down from heaven to earth the beauty of Israel. And He did not remember His footstool in the day of His anger. Verse 14 of chapter 2 says, your prophets have seen for you false and deceptive visions. They have not uncovered your iniquity to bring back your captives, but have envisioned for you false prophecies and delusions. So the people felt the wrath of God. Why? Because they had failed to follow God. And so one of the lessons that we can learn here is that God, when His people fall away, they will see punishment. Many people don't like hearing about the wrath of God. It's not something that a lot of people leave the building whistling when you do that. But the lesson here is that God hates sin and that God judges sin. And sin brings about tears. Sin brings punishment. And if it doesn't bring tears and punishment in this life, it brings it in the next life. And to ignore that is really to reject God's Word. And this may not be one of the most popular top 10 facts about God that people want to listen to, but it's true. And God is faithful in all things. You know, One of the things that God is faithful in is that judgment is going to be brought upon the unrighteous. Chapter 2, verse 17 says, "The Lord has done what He purposed. He has fulfilled His word." We like to think about God's promises in the positive way, the positive things that He promises, but you know, there's negative things too that are promised, and this is what is mentioned by Jeremiah. The Lord, in doing what He has done here to the people of God, He's done what He purposed. He fulfilled His word, which He commanded in the days of old. He has thrown down and has not pitied. He has caused an enemy to rejoice over you. He has exalted the horn of your adversaries. The enemy has taken you, and it's what God purposed. Why? Because you're reaping what you sowed. Again, not terribly popular, not something that people want to think about, but it is something that we need to recognize about God, that wickedness is punished. Let's turn over to Deuteronomy chapter 28. And we can note here that this is what God had already promised as the children of Israel came out of the land of Egypt and went into the promised land, and laws were being taught, and you know, Moses and Joshua were delivering the law, and they were warning people about, here's what you need to do, and here's what's going to happen if you don't do it. Deuteronomy chapter 28, verses 1 and 2. "It shall come to pass, if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God, to observe carefully all His commandments, which I commanded you today, that the Lord your God will set you high above all nations of the earth, and all the blessings shall come upon you and overtake you because you obey the voice of the Lord your God." That is a great promise. That's one that we want to listen to. He's going to give us all these things because we are His children. And when I do His commandments, He's going to make everything right. But read down a few verses, verse 15. The first 14 verses of Deuteronomy chapter 28 give you the blessings that you receive with obedience. But verse 15 starts the section we don't want to read. "But it shall come to pass if you do not obey the voice of the Lord your God to observe carefully all His commandments and His statutes which I command you today, that all these curses will come upon you and overtake you. Cursed shall you be in the city, and cursed shall you be in this country. Cursed shall be your basket and your kneading bowl. Cursed shall be the fruit of your body and the produce of your land, the increase of your cattle and the offspring of your flock. Cursed shall be you when you come in, and cursed shall be you when you go out." And so what do we see here? We see what's happening. What Jeremiah is talking about in the book of Lamentations should not have been a surprise. This is not like, well, God all of a sudden changed His mind. He promised us all these good things and now it's been taken away from us. Why has this happened? Because you didn't read on. You only paid attention to part of the law. You only paid attention to the blessing, but you didn't pay attention to what would bring the cursing. It's not popular to teach that God will punish us due to sin. But He does. That is taught. And we need to recognize that today. Look at Acts chapter 5. Acts chapter 5, verses 1 through 5. "But a certain man named Ananias, with Sapphira his wife, sold a possession. He kept back part of the proceeds, his wife also being aware of it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and keep back part of the price of the land for yourself? While it remained, was it not your own? And after it was sold, was it not in your own control? Why have you conceived this thing in your heart? You have not lied to men, but to God. Then Ananias heard these words, fell down, and breathed his last. So great fear came upon all those who heard these things. And the young man arose and wrapped him up, carried him out, and buried him." Again, this is not a popular passage. But we see that God punished those who sinned, and we will be punished for sin. We can't be naive to that fact. So how should we view God through the tears that are produced from our sins? we need to recognize that God is faithful and God will give back to us what we sowed. We are going to reap what we sowed. And we also can see in the book of Lamentations the fact that the Lord is righteous. Not only will God punish sinful behavior, but we need to recognize that God's judgments are fair. God's judgments are fair. We cannot claim that God has somehow mistreated us. In verse 18, the Lord is righteous, for I rebelled against His commandment. Hear now, all people, and behold my sorrow. My virgins and my young men have gone into captivity. So God was just in how He treated Judah. I know sometimes when my parents had to punish me growing up, my dad would ask me, well, what do you think I should do about this? And my first thought, well, I don't think you should do anything. You know, I think you should just give me a speech. And, you know, the fact that you caught me is just punishment enough. You know. But that didn't fly. And in my mind, I could say, well, you're not treating me fair. You know, I think I really learned my lesson. I don't think that I really need to be punished. I'd have to be honest if I was being honest with myself. Yes, what I did deserves punishment. And God was just in how He treated Judah. Again, this was not a surprise. This is something that God had warned them about in the beginning. If you are obedient, you get this. If you're disobedient, you get this. So, He saw the hunger and the pain of the people, but there was one thing that they couldn't say or do. They couldn't say that what God did was not fair. And the prophet Jeremiah didn't say, well, you know, I understand how you feel. I'm sorry that you're having to go through this, and it's just not fair, but you're going to have to endure it. He says the way that God treated His people was fair, and it was righteous. The Lord is righteous, for I rebelled against His commandment. There you go. So while God was punishing Judah, the suffering, again, was a direct result of their wicked hearts. And when God was not to blame. Let's look at chapter 3, verse 33. And this reminds me of when a parent says to you, you know, this is going to hurt me more than it hurts you, which I never believed. Do parents like giving spankings? You know, sometimes I thought they did. But really, they don't want to do that. And as a parent, I can understand that. I'd much rather not have to do that. In Lamentations chapter 3, verse 33, it says, He does not afflict willingly, nor grieve the children of men. He doesn't want to do this. But what you have done needs to be corrected. Verse 39 says, why should a living man complain, a man for the punishment of his sins? Really, there was nothing that they could say that could justify their action. They could not claim that God was not righteous because He was. And whatever afflictions we may endure as a result of our choices, and we need to realize that. You know, I saw a sign just this last week. I think it was one of those fake signs that people post on the internet. But it says, the reason that you're in the situation that you are is because you have behaved stupidly and made bad decisions. You know, that's kind of direct, isn't it? That's kind of pointed. And people don't want to think about that when they get into a situation that they're in that's difficult. But you really have to look back, you know, well, the reason I'm here is because I made this decision, and now I have to deal with it. And whatever afflictions we may endure as a result of our choices, we cannot blame God. God is the judge of all the earth, and He always does what's right. And He is righteous all the time. That's something that we can have great confidence in. And God desires to bless. God does not want to curse us. God will judge us accordingly. And when we find ourselves running away from Him, it's going to have consequences. When we find ourselves mourning from our sins and suffering as a result of poor choices, we need to look at ourselves internally and consider our ways instead of asking God, why is this happening? Why are you doing this to me? Lamentations chapter 3 and verse 40. Let us search out and examine our ways and turn back to God. We need to return to Him. Instead of blaming Him, we return to Him and we look inwardly at what caused us to be in the situation that we're in. So the Lord is righteous. And on that, we can certainly have great confidence. And also, Lamentations teaches us that the Lord is good. Would that be hard for these people to see at this time? Certainly, because of all the things going on around them. But let's look at chapter 3 and verse 25. Lamentations chapter 3, verse 25. The Lord is good to those who wait for Him, to the soul that seeks Him. So even in the midst of all this devastation and destruction that you read about in this book, all the terrible things that the people were in, Jeremiah still was able to see the goodness of God. So how could Jeremiah, in the midst of all the things that are going on here, say that God is good? Despite this cloud of God's anger, Jeremiah sees this ray of light. He knows that God is righteous. He knows that God is just. He knows that God is faithful. He knows that God is good. He knows what God has done in the past for His people. He knew what God had promised in His Word. And Jeremiah knows that the people are not going to stay in bondage forever. They are not going to stay in this captivity for infinity. Verse 31 of chapter 3, the Lord will not cast off forever. Though He causes grief, yet He will show compassion. So there is something better that's coming. And what they needed to do is they needed to wait and they needed to repent. Verse 24 of chapter 3. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I hope in Him. The Lord is good to those who wait for Him, to the soul who seeks Him. It is good that one should hope and wait quietly. So through their tears, through their suffering, they needed to see that God was good. And even though there were many tears that were being shed due to sin, there would sometimes be tears for joy. You know, the walls were going to be rebuilt, the temple would be rebuilt, good days would come again because of God. And why? Because God is good all the time. And I know a lot of people make that statement, but we have reason to make that statement in the good times and the bad. In the book of Job, Job was one who suffered greatly. But you know, after all the things that began to happen to him in verse 20 of chapter 1, all of this bad news that was being delivered to him as Satan was bringing upon catastrophe after catastrophe, he said in verse 20 of chapter 1, thus Job arose and tore his robe, shaved his head, and he fell to the ground in worship. And he said, naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked shall I return there. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Think about how hard that must have been for him to say. But we can say that. And when we have tears as a result of our sins, we should still be able to say that God is good. We need to recognize from the book of Lamentations that God takes sin seriously and that there are consequences to pay for our actions. But God is faithful and He will render to us according to our deeds. Another lesson we can learn from this book is that God will forgive. There is a constant lesson here that people needed to learn from the situation that they were in. Turn away from sin and turn back to God. Because God will forgive, God will show compassion, and He will show love that will not cease. Even in our darkest hour, we can know God and wait for Him. Let's look at verses 19 through 26 of chapter 3. Remember my affliction and roaming, the wormwood and the gall. My soul still remembers and sinks within me. This I recall to my mind, therefore I have hope. Though the Lord, through the Lord's mercies, we are not consumed, because He has compassion. His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I hope in Him. The Lord is good to those who wait for Him, to the soul who seeks Him. It is good that one should hope and wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. What did you think as we read those verses? You may have thought, well, I seem to remember those. That sounds a little bit familiar. Because those may be the ones that sometimes people pick out of this book to read because they don't want to read the rest of it. But there's a great message in that, because it's a message of forgiveness. It's a message of hope and compassion. And we can have hope in God, even in the midst of darkness. And that is a great lesson from the book of Lamentations. So sandwiched right in between all of this suffering is these few verses that talk about the hope that you have when you wait for the Lord. So we need to know God. We need to understand His ways. And when we sin, we need to turn to Him. And we can experience His goodness and compassion, but realize that there's a price to pay. These people paid a price for their actions. It was difficult. But they can get through that if they turn back to God. So let's remember those things and try to learn from this great book. If we can help in any way to be obedient to the gospel of Christ, so become a Christian, or you start that life in heaven and faithful, want to come back to Him, we invite you to come while we stand together and sing.